I'm Shannon Browning-Mullis, curator of history and decorative arts for Telfair Museums, and we are at the Owens Thomas House in Slave Quarters. This project really started in the 1990s, which is kind of crazy when you think about it. But the building that we're in right now on both sides, this is the original carriage house, so horses and carriages on first floor, hayloft up above, and then next door was the two-story slave quarters. Only 25% of white Southerners actually owned slaves, and the majority of them owned less than five enslaved people, which means they didn't have a big slave quarters. Either people slept in the kitchen of the house, or what was very common and what you are still seeing around town today is carriage house on the first floor, slave quarters on the second floor. So 1990, the museum comes in, and to get ready for that reno, they started to pull down the drop plaster ceilings and take out some walls, and realized that the original fireplaces, ceilings, some of the floors were still intact. And so they paused everything and said, okay, we have this space, it's still here, what do? We have to open it to the public, but how do we tell this story? This is not a story anybody was telling at the time, certainly not anybody in Savannah. This house existed not on a plantation, but in a city, which is something people don't often understand. George Owens, who purchased this property in 1830, was an attorney. He was a politician, but most of his wealth came from the eight plantations on which over 400 people were enslaved. So the important thing to understand here is we had between 8 and 14 enslaved people on the site, but the money that generated the ability to live in this way came from over 600 individuals' lives. And so the pieces of wood that you see behind you are representative of those people. When this is done, it will cover the wall, and you'll see over 300 names that we have, but you will also see blank tiles for the people who we know existed on these plantations, but whose names we were not able to recover yet. So we are in the slave quarters. Both levels of this building did serve as slave quarters before the Civil War. And the ceiling that you see here, the fireplace that you see here, even that center strip of floor there are original to the building, which is pretty exceptional. This is the only intact urban slave quarters that's open to the public in the city of Savannah. There are many other slave quarters in the city, but they're functioning as shops or apartments or whatever it may be. So this is the only opportunity for people to have this experience. The paint that you see there is really important to us. It is haint blue paint, so made and applied by the enslaved people who lived here as part of their own spiritual practice. And because we don't have any written documents in their own words, we think this is a pretty critical part of the story that we tell. Hmm. Let's walk upstairs and take a look. So this space is the second floor of the slave quarters. And what we are doing here, of course, we don't know what furnishings these people had. You know, we have inventories of the main house and the expensive furnishings that were there. We don't have that for this building. But we do have WPA narratives that talk about things people had in different places when they were enslaved. And so what we're doing here is interpreting three different vignettes of the ways people might have lived and furnished their spaces. So we have one that is a rope bed, which you see here, and the story would be that this is a hand-me-down from the house, something that would have been used until it was worn, and then they passed it on to the slave quarters. We'll also have a bed that would have been constructed by enslaved people from materials they were able to acquire themselves. And then we have a pallet on the floor for people who would not have had beds, because we know there were many people who were enslaved that did not have actual beds. So
8 to 14 people would have been living here at a time. Is that about right?
8 to 14 people, about half of them were children at any given time.
Okay.
But the thing we don't know is how many people actually slept in this building, because people like the nursemaid for the children, the Owens children, she would have probably slept on the floor in their room. So there probably were two or three people sleeping in the main house. The cook might have slept in the kitchen, Diane. The butler may have slept somewhere in the main house. So, you know, we have to kind of guess at those numbers, but approximately. Mm-hmm. Half the people here at any given time were enslaved people, and half were Owens or Thomas or Richardson family members. And so we're able to talk fully about not just an equal story between those people, but also the fact that this wasn't a segregated space. These people were interacting on a daily basis in very close ways. And so we're able to talk about that as well. Do you want to have a look at the basement and see the rest of the new exhibits? So we're still wrapping this room up, but this door will be open so that you can see the tools they would have used on a daily basis. This is the cellar, which I've never been to another site where you could go into the cellar, so I'm very excited about it. It's where everything would have been stored at the time. So you'll see this is our wonderful registrar who is arranging our collection to tell that story. And then the cabinet that's behind you here when it's complete will be interactive so people can open the doors and learn about power and access. So what did Diane, the enslaved cook, have access to on a daily basis? And then what things did Sarah Owens come down and unlock when it was needed? Very impactful on people's lives when you think about the power you had to feed your family or provide medicine for your family as opposed to what you would have had to ask of another person. Formal dinners absolutely happened here. Beautiful dresses absolutely happened here. But those things didn't exist without somebody in the basement washing those dresses and cooking that food. And so to give people that entire story of not just the part you want to hear, but the part that you have to hear to understand it, has been something we've really found that a lot of people respond to.